Hey y'all, this is Pastor Steve Berger. Welcome to Courageous Conversations, where we tackle tough issues in the church, government, and culture. One. Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday on Holy Week. This is day two. Sarah has her coffee with the little flowers on it, a little bunny. Isn't that sweet? Anyway, here we go. So here we go. We're talking about ultimate obedience, the ultimate obedience of Jesus throughout Holy Week. And it's, you know, we're looking at the highs of Sunday, you know, the emotional highs and potentially the emotional highs, and then the lows of the highs of Hosanna in the highest and public worship for the first time. And then just within hours, minutes, him weeping over Jerusalem because they missed the time of their visitation, and then cursing the fig tree and cleansing the temple. I mean, it's highs and lows. It's like a picture of our own lives. Yeah. You know, we made the point yesterday too about, you know, you can't look at what Jesus went through and then go, well, of course he was able to endure that because he was the Son of God. Mm-mm. No, everything that Jesus did, he did, you know, as a spirit-filled human being. Mm-hmm. And he laid his divinity aside, all of his rights and privileges of being divine in nature, and did what he did as a man.
Yeah. And isn't that what we're supposed to look to when we start going through our own conflict?
Yeah.
To remember Jesus did this, so I can too.
Right.
He's our forerunner.
He's our forerunner. And it's what Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 4, right? He was in all points tempted, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. like us.
Yeah.
You ever think that Jesus was tempted to quit and to stop doing what he was doing? I mean, we'll see it on Thursday. Father, if there's any other way, let mm-hmm. this cup pass from me.
Yeah.
So I want you to, I want you to make a connection mm-hmm. with Jesus, that this week is a difficult week for him, mm-hmm. spiritually, emotionally, relationally, mm-hmm. in every way. There's conflict. That's our word today. Yeah. If yesterday on Monday was a day of cursing and cleansing, today's a day of conflict. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to. And it's Jesus' ultimate obedience in the midst of conflict, okay? So if we're unpacking what happened on Tuesday, it is a massive amount of teaching.
Yeah.
Like the conflict and the pressure in Jesus' life, it doesn't cause him to recoil and to step back from teaching. Like he steps into it mm-hmm. and he's teaching. Now, I'm going to run through just 11 different aspects really, really quickly. I'll give you the scripture references, but just so that you can see, I mean, could you imagine all of this in one day? So it starts off where the religious leaders are challenging Jesus' authority over him cleansing the temple. Mark 11, 27 and 28, mm-hmm. right? They're all up in his grill. Hey, what gives you the authority to do this? Show us a sign. Like, mm-hmm. what gives you the right to do it?
Yeah.
So we're painting the picture. This is a day of conflict. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus starts teaching. And the stuff that he starts teaching bespeaks the conflict, the inner turmoil that he would be facing as a man, because he starts talking about him being rejected mm-hmm. in parables.
Yeah.
Nobody likes rejection.
Yeah.
Rejection didn't make you feel good.
No.
Didn't
no.
make.
He's not. And the difference between he and I or us is, well, I would say he probably was tempted to wave a flag and campaign for friends mm-hmm. and try to convince them. But he taking the higher road
yeah.
just gives them the truth
yeah.
that this would happen to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and we have to go back to John chapter 2 again, where Jesus, it says he didn't commit himself so to the
men,
people,
yeah.
to the men, because yeah. he knew what was in them.
Mm-hmm. So smart.
Again, he knew that mm-hmm. Sunday was Hosanna, and then mm-hmm. Friday, you know, Thursday, Friday is crucifying.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to testify, man. He knew it was in him. He didn't need their approval. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, it doesn't mean that it's not challenging and painful. So the parable of the vineyard, the all about the rejection of Christ, Matthew 21, 33 through 46. than the parable of the wedding banquet, Matthew 22, 1 through 14. What's that about? It's more about rejection, okay? Then it's like they're trying everything that they can, the religious leaders. Next, they're trying to trap him somehow, trying to catch Jesus in his words. And so they try to get him to trip up and to violate the law of Moses or of Caesar. So they're trying the Jewish angle and the Roman angle, the religious angle and the civil angle. They're doing whatever they can to catch him and to trip him up.
Yeah.
I mean, and this isn't...
It's really familiar.
Yeah. Well, and, right, it didn't just start on Tuesday. They tried this behavior all the time, but it just keeps coming. It keeps coming. So then they try to catch him on the issue of taxes. Is it lawful to pay taxes or not? Matthew 22, 15 through 22. Then they're challenging him on the resurrection, right? And Matthew 22, 23 through 33. And I love this because Jesus just shoots back at him and he tells him, you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. The leading religious leaders of the day who've memorized parts of the Old Testament, he tells them, you don't even know the scriptures and you don't even know what God is capable of. So again, this is contentious. There's conflict here. Then they question him, okay, what's the greatest commandment, right? Matthew 22, 34 through 40. And of course he tells them what it is. It's to love God and to love people. Then Jesus starts pushing back even more. He starts asking questions and he's saying, who is the Christ? Matthew 22, 41 through 46. And then we get to Matthew chapter 23. If you want to do something.
Yeah. It's intense.
Intense, interesting. Yeah. I mean, most of the time we look at John chapter 8 as being the most kind of accusatory and mean-spiritedness of Jesus, where he calls the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, sons of the devil. I mean, that's pretty hardcore
to call
somebody that. But now here in Matthew 23, I mean, you read the list of the names that Jesus called people, called the Pharisees. I mean, specifically the religious leaders. I mean, he calls them hypocrites. He calls them fools. He calls them blind leaders of the blind. He calls them whitewashed sepulchers, just dead, empty
religion.
Well, it is dead, empty religion, but they're dead and empty inside. They have nothing to offer. Again, they're appearing as something kind of like yesterday, but they really have nothing to offer. They're just an empty grave, an empty coffin. But looks good on the outside, but nothing on the inside. So Matthew 23, hardcore moment of conflict with Jesus. Then we get to Matthew 24, which is the famous Olivet Discourse. And we're used to, you know, hey, Jesus, what are going to be the signs of your coming? And, you know, we talk about end time prophecy and, you know, wars and rumors of war and famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And you might say, you know, hey, Steve and Sarah, that doesn't sound like conflict. But what does he talk about in the midst of the conflict? Right? He talks about betrayal. He talks about hatred and martyrdom. Listen, when he talks about betrayal, I mean, talk about conflict. If you've never been betrayed, y'all, there's nothing like it. He's talking about betrayal. He's talking about betrayal happening with the closest family relationships. He didn't just say your friends are going to betray you. What does he say? He said, mothers and daughters will betray each other and fathers and sons will betray each other. Conflict, right? So in all of this, y'all, this is what it gets down to. This is what Sarah and I really want to talk to you about next is, what do you see in all of this? Okay, so Tuesday's a day of conflict and just, you know, massive contention between Jesus and the religious leaders. What do we see in all this? I'm just going to pose this opinion to you, that before great tasks are going to happen, there's going to be a last ditch effort to try to get you to quit.
Yeah. And note, great tasks. We're not talking great promotion, great that like kingdom, eternal, heavy, important, weighty things before those things, because the enemy wants to come in when you are vulnerable and spent and do anything he can from preventing you from finishing well.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's you can't say it any better than that. In all of this conflict, in all of this pressure, this idea of wearing Jesus down to who knows what, to get him to throw in the towel. Again, we're going to look at Thursday where he's borderline right there, right? And so think about this, friends. If you were to look back on your life, your spiritual life, if you look at when you were attacked the most, you could probably, if you look at it, go, you know what? That's when God was calling me to do something great. And it was like a last ditch effort of the enemy. Through conflict, opposition, oppression, to try to get you to throw the towel in. You know, I think it's important too, you know, we're talking about throwing the towel in. I want to say to you that it's not maybe fully throwing the towel in and saying you don't believe in God anymore, but it's you getting so wore down from conflict that you just throw the towel in to fulfill your destiny and the next thing that God's calling you to do. And we're here this morning as your friends, as your brother and your sister in Christ, just to tell you this, you can't throw the towel in. You can't throw the towel in. You need to step into ultimate obedience, even in the midst of massive conflict that is trying to wear you down over and over and over again. And so, you know, think about the most important things right in your life, okay? Maybe the kingdom thing for you right now is for you to repair your marriage. Maybe that's the great kingdom thing. And maybe there's so much conflict and contention in your house and in your marriage and in your relationship, you feel like throwing the towel in. Don't you dare. Right? Maybe it's your parenting. Maybe it's your kids are going through it. And you're just
tired.
You're tired, man. You've got a rebellious teenager right now that's trying to find their way and making mistakes and bringing pressure into the house. And maybe that's even affecting your marriage. And you've been at it so long and you've prayed so much and, you know, you're just ready to go, you know what? Forget it then. Don't you dare. Right? Maybe. What about this one? Have you ever thought that your job is a kingdom assignment? It could look on the outside as secular as a thing as possible. I mean, I don't even know. I don't want to say, but like, there's professions that might not look just super spiritual in nature, but what if that's your kingdom assignment, to bring the glory of God into that secular setting? And you're going to stand for Christ in that blast furnace of conflict and opposition. And yet you're just getting wore down and wore down and wore down because, you know, the devil doesn't want you fulfilling what God has for you. Okay. So what is it that God's called you to? And then, okay, was there conflict there in the past? And you just need to know there's going to be conflict in the future.
Yeah.
Conflict is inevitable.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm also thinking, honeys, about how in times past, things may have been easy.
Or at least easier.
Easier.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're shocked when you step into a situation where there is just, you're being pushed back so much. And it's easy to go, oh, this may not be the Lord. This is where you have to be so sharpened in the Holy Spirit to know, wait a minute, I did hear his small voice, his still small voice saying to do this task. I think that is part of the conflict in our lives now, because I just think that's a part of it. Things may have just been so smooth and you experienced the favor of the Lord. And now you're going, I'm not experiencing it. It's like, no, he's allowing you to be tested
yeah.
in this conflict. Mm-hmm. Now he still loves you. Mm-hmm. He's not abandoned you. Now, are you going to continue
yes.
to fulfill that task or not? So I think that's a big
yeah.
thing to evaluate in this time.
Yeah.
You know?
So when I'm listening to what Sarah's saying, there's 2 points of conflict there that I think people deal with. One of the areas of conflict is, am I hearing God or not?
Yeah.
Is this God or the devil?
Like, how could this be God? This is too hard.
Right. And so the conflict of whether mm-hmm. it's God or not, and then the conflict of, would God call me to do something this difficult?
Yeah.
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 Look at the life of Jesus. Yeah. Look at the life of the disciples. Mm-hmm. Far too many of us, again, and now I understand we're talking about perseverance and all that, but far too many of us throw in the towel on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And so we never experience Sunday.
Yeah, the regret of not standing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's our message for today. In the midst of everything that's going on this week, Jesus, the man, the spirit-filled man, is in a moment, a day, I should say, of massive conflict. Now, tomorrow, Wednesday, is a really, really interesting day as well. And so I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. We're looking forward to that. So anyway, we want to pray this morning for those of you who may be in massive conflict right now. We just want to say to you, because you're in conflict, it doesn't mean mm-hmm. that you're not following God.
Right.
And because you're in conflict right now, you're in good company. Jesus, the disciples, believers throughout human history, were faithful and obedient in doing what God called them to be, and it was filled mm-hmm. with conflict.
Yeah.
Okay. So we want to pray for you, those of you who are in conflict right now, in whatever way it is. Sarah, I'm going to have you pray for our dear friends this morning.
Father God, in Jesus' name, you see every single one of us that are in a season of conflict. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would refresh, enable, equip every single one of us in that state. And Holy Spirit, I'm also asking for the grace, the supernatural, the divine enabling, that it would be so present in each one of our lives to continue to not lose faith, to not lose heart, but to continue and just live and experience the other side of this, knowing that you stood for Jesus, not compromising and not wavering. We thank you for it, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Here's your word for the day, beloved. Courage. Courage in the midst of conflict.
That's good.
That's what it's about. All right. We love you. We bless you with the strength and favor and power of God. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning for very unique Wednesday in the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. So God bless you. We love you. Have an awesome day today. See you guys. Bye-bye.